You're listening to the Back Home Network, presented by Home Field Apparel. And welcome, Hoosier fans, to another disappointed episode of the Assembly Call, as tonight your Indiana Hoosiers fall 89-75 in Las Vegas to the Arizona Wildcats, in a game that Indiana once again played without Jalen Hood-Schifino, and you know, just got off to such a bad start. You know, down 27-8. You know, just really looked disjointed offensively, didn't have an answer for Wisconsin or for Arizona's defense, and Arizona jumped out to that big lead. And to Indiana's credit, the Hoosiers were able to battle back. But every time Indiana got it to five or got it to six, Arizona had an answer. And they would go on a 7-8 point run, push it right back out, and Indiana was just never able to fully make the comeback. And Arizona ends up winning by 14. I'm your host, Jared Morris. I'm here with Ryan Phillips and Andy Bottoms. We're going to break it all down for you on this edition of the Assembly Call IU postgame show. And let's start the show the way we start every show, and that is with our Hoosier Proud banner moment. And for the banner moment, you know, I'm going to go to the second half. And again, one of those runs that Indiana went on. They come out in the second half. They score five straight points. Arizona gets it right back. And so it kind of seesawed like that for a little while. And the closest Indiana got was after Arizona pushed it back out to 59-50. Xavier Johnson hit a three-pointer, and then Tamar Bates hit a huge three to make it 59-56. And then actually a little bit later, when Arizona pushed that lead out again and they were up 74-60, Tamar Bates had a great sequence where he found Miller Kopp in the corner for a three, then, you know, took a screen, hit a shot from the mid-range. And I think one of the biggest positives that you can take from this game is the way that Tamar Bates shot the ball and scored, because he really felt like a guy who, on a big stage, kind of grew up before our eyes. Tamar finishes with 13 points, and if he is going to be able to bring that kind of shooting and scoring off the bench in big games for Indiana, it would obviously be huge for this team as they move forward. He's been a guy who's had some big games, but he's done it at home against lesser competition. To see him do it tonight in a spot like this, where all of those shots just felt like they had the weight of the world on them, if Indiana was going to make a comeback, then he made them. Finishes 6 of 10, made that 1-3, hit a number of shots inside the arc. Just a really solid performance offensively from Tamar on a night when Indiana needed someone, anyone, to step up and give him a spark offensively. He did that. Unfortunately, it just wasn't enough on a night when Indiana didn't have enough against Arizona. All right, let's talk about our presenting sponsor. Our banner moment, as always, brought to you by our friends at Home Field Apparel, now in their sixth season of sponsoring the Assembly Call, and their second as the presenting sponsor for the Back Home Network. And I'll tell you what, in almost every shot or picture I saw of Las Vegas and all the Indiana fans there, there was always home field gear. You know, you got Galen wearing the oval shirts, you always see the Bison hoodie. I mean, it's just, it is the thing to wear. That is what Home Field Apparel has become. And if you're doing your Christmas shopping, as we've been telling you, go to Home Field Apparel, because they have something for everybody. Just incredible logos that really celebrate the heritage and tradition of all the different schools that they have and that they sell on their website. And plus, all the materials are comfortable. The colors last through many washings. And of course, you're supporting an Indiana-based brand that came up through Kelly. Just awesome people. We love supporting them, and we hope that you do too. So go to homefieldapparel.com, use our promo code HOME, and you will get 15% off your entire first order. That's promo code HOME, H-O-M-E, for 15% off. Once again, the website, homefieldapparel.com, wear one for the team. All right, well, it is time to move the ball, find the open man, and get some opening thoughts from the rest of our team. Andy, we will start with you, your Bottoms line on this Indiana loss.
They played so poorly early in the game, and they're just playing uphill the rest of it from there. I mean, really, it was one of those where you get into halftime and you feel like, well, you're kind of lucky to be down 10. But against a team that's that explosive offensively, even that is a hard hole to dig out of. And they came out of the locker room, played really well the first few possessions, and then, you know, give up a quick run to Arizona, and you look up and you really have shaved 1 point off the lead at that point. And I think – eventually having to play that way. They really ran out of steam at the end. I think they gave up scores on 8 straight possessions at one stretch before maybe an empty one or two to end the game. But when it really mattered and you needed to get stops, just couldn't come up with them. Either couldn't corral a rebound, gave up an easy shot inside. You know, I just think that was too much for them to overcome. And really, you look, I mean, up and down the stat line in terms of places where, you know, IU usually fares well, got almost doubled up in points in the paint. Offensive rebounds were actually closer than I thought they were. But, you know, got outscored in second chance points, gave up tons of points off turnovers in the first half, really cut back the turnovers in the second half. But that one stretch of really poor play in the first half when right after X got his second foul, or kind of he got a second foul in the midst of that, the whole thing really just unraveled from there for IU. And for as well as they played in spurts and showed great resiliency, because there was a time that I and many others thought they were just going to get absolutely run out of the building. And so I think there are positives to take from it, but, you know, really struggled guard play, struggled to contain inside, did have some strong performances from maybe unexpected guys, I guess you could say, to keep things close for a while. And I'm not sure the 14 point, you know, final margin is indicative of what it really was, but just felt like everything to me ties back to that stretch in the first half that kind of just threw everything out of whack. Just didn't come out ready to play. Arizona really dictated what they wanted to do, and IU took a while to, you know, get up off the mat, and by then you're down, you know, 17, 19 points. And against a team like that, I just think you're going to struggle to hold them off defensively for long enough to allow you to totally get back in the game.
Yep. Well said, Andy. Ryan, your rant.
You know, Indiana wasn't ready to play when the tip went up. They just weren't. And Arizona was. Arizona jumped on them early. I mean, you know, not even 9 minutes into the game, Indiana's down 19, 27-8. And that's an impossible hole to dig out of. It really is, especially against a good team. If you're playing a terrible team, playing in Nebraska, you can make that comeback. You cannot against Arizona. And we've seen this before, that Indiana, if you start off bad, good teams are going to bury you. This will happen against Kansas too. If they show up and they are not ready to play, Kansas will blow them out of that building. And kudos to Indiana. They fought very hard tonight. This is not going to be a knock on the players for not playing hard. I think that they were a little stunned early. I do blame the coaching staff for not having them ready to play. I thought the coaching was relatively fine after that, but really to open the game, they weren't ready to go. But here's the thing that I'm going to say about this game. Arizona is a better team than Indiana. I've watched Arizona play 5 times this year. They are the best team I have watched as far as talent. They lost to Utah, I know, and that's a really wacky result. We've seen those for some teams this year. They're the best team I've seen. And this is where you look at Arizona, that's where Indiana needs to aspire to be. These guys are bigger than Indiana. They're stronger than Indiana. They play smarter than Indiana. They all can hit open threes. And honestly, and this isn't a knock on Mike Woodson, because I think Tommy Lloyd's a really good coach, but they're better coached than Indiana. And again, that's not saying that Mike Woodson's a bad coach. I just think Tommy Lloyd is a very, very, very good coach, one of the best in college basketball. This is where Indiana's program needs to go, is to be what Arizona is, to have that level of talent, to have that level of size, and to have everybody able to hit open shots. Indiana hit open shots tonight. They actually matched Arizona from the three-point line, which it probably didn't feel like it, because it seemed every time Arizona needed a three, they were able to get it. But you have to be able to hit all of those different things. And Indiana over the past 20 years has been, they're either good inside or they're good shooting and they're missing something. Arizona has it all covered. And that is the goal you aspire to. Indiana should not feel bad about losing to Arizona. Arizona is flat out, I'm sorry, a better basketball team right now. And I don't think they're going to get any worse. If I had to pick a national championship today, if the tournament started today, I would pick Arizona. But Indiana has a lot to work on. And we're all talking about how excited we are about, you know, the Big Ten championship possibility. And, oh, could they make a run to the championship? This is the kind of team they're going to face. And you can't let your flaws show in a game like this. You have to be able to grab rebounds. How many times did a ball hit an Indiana player and go out of bounds and give Arizona another chance? How many times did, you know, a guy screw up on ball screen coverage and leave a guy open for three? How many times did, you know, they double too far and leave a guy open from three? I mean, or over help in the post and leave another guy open. I mean, it's, you have to have all your bases covered when you're playing a team that is this good, and they didn't. And you also cannot get off to the start that they got off to. You just can't. I mean, you're going to lose that game if you do. So I appreciate the fight these guys showed. A lot of guys stepped up. I want to mention Miller Kopp. I want to mention Tamar Bates, as Jared did. You know, those guys really, Race Thompson stepped up and played a pretty decent ball game. But, you know, if you're going to beat a really, really good team, you have to play your best. And Indiana did not play its best.
Yeah, I mean, you're right about Arizona. I mean, they are really good. And I think it's
important. Going in, you could play really, really well against Arizona and still lose because they're that good. And that's, you know, you go in hoping you show a good performance. Indiana, from about the 10-minute mark of the first half on, was a good performance. But there's 10 minutes of that game missing. It's a 40-minute game.
Yeah, look, and I think it's important to put this loss in proper context. It's very disappointing, and we wanted Indiana to have a better showing, not start out like that, make it a 40-minute game, and that didn't happen. It also, you know, and I think there were some execution issues. Like, I think the guys who were on the court could have played better tonight. But there's no question that missing Jalen Hood-Schifino really hurts this team, and Trayce Jackson-Davis does not look 100% to me. And so it does feel a little bit like a team that really could use a couple of weeks to rest up right as its schedule has gotten really tough. And look, at the end of the day, Andy, when you're going through the bracketology, all that's going to matter are the wins and the losses. But I do think that would have made a difference. Does it allow Indiana to beat Arizona? I don't know, because as we've said all along, you could play really good and lose, you know, and lose to them. But, you know, it does feel like a team. You know, Trey Galloway should not be running the point that long in a game like this. No. You know, and unfortunately, picks up the two fouls. So yeah. I just don't know how many conclusions we can draw for a team. You know, when we're putting it into perspective of being a potential Big Ten champion, that's with Jalen Hood-Schifino being a key part, you know, and Trayce being at 100%, which he's not. So, you know, Andy, I don't necessarily want to use that as an excuse, but I do think it is important context to keep in mind, you know, when you're looking at a game like this.
It is, Jared, but I'll also say this, is that, you know what? Back injuries might dog them the whole year.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this fantasy land where they're all of a sudden going to get healthy and we're going to make a Big Ten, they're probably going to be dealing with this not 100% all year. And I mean, there's a good chance. Back injuries recur, they come back. So Indiana's got to find a way to play without them at a higher level. And that's on some guys behind them playing better. You're right. Trey Galloway was put in an impossible situation against that guard lineup today. And he didn't play well. He didn't have his best game. He was fine. He was okay, but not as good as he needed to be.
But that's what I mean. If you don't have those two guys, it's going to be such an uphill climb to beat a team like Arizona. Right. It didn't need to be as uphill climb, Andy, you know, because of how Indiana started out. But you know, we need to keep that in mind. So, you know, Andy, you talked about the rebounding, and that is something that, you know, doesn't need to be an issue based on who's on the court. You know, this is something that we talked about from day one, watching this team in exhibition games, that they did not have very good rebounding fundamentals. We saw it just, you know, kill them against Rutgers. And tonight, you know, there was a play late in the game. I think Indiana was down 7 and they got a stop. And the ball just bounces off of Miller Kopp's hands, you know, and there was another play late. Indiana gets a stop. X doesn't box out and they get the rebound. Now, Arizona is going to get some offensive rebounds on you because of their size. But this is now, I think, kind of a pretty big crisis point for this team when it comes to rebounding, because that's something that when you have guys, you know, like Race Thompson and Malik Renew and Jordan Geronimo and some of these guys with size and athleticism, you've got to be able to rebound better than this. And if Indiana doesn't, they're going to lose games they should win just because they're giving up too many second chances.
Yeah, and for IU, it's kind of a, you know, positioning-wise, you know, they tried some different things. They really tried to front Ballo in the first half. That didn't work. And even if you're doing that and he doesn't get the ball, he's got inside position to rebound at that point. Then they tried playing behind him, and they were giving up such deep post position to both him and Tabellus that you're basically pushed under the rim at that point if somebody misses. So a lot of it was positioning, but there's just some effort things and being able to come away with loose balls that, you know, IU would try to tip them out, and they had a little bit more success doing that. But sometimes just breakdowns on the perimeter. I think it was Bates, the one that Ramey missed and then ends up getting his own rebound, kicking it to Carissa there at the end. That was among the daggers toward the end. Was just a, you know, he closes out, he goes past him and doesn't really get back in the play to do things there. And so that was kind of a total system failure. I don't know that it was, I wouldn't put it all on the bigs. I wouldn't put it all on the guards. It was just, nobody was really consistently in position to be able to.
There's a whole lot of scrambling going on, it felt like, on some of those.
Yep.
You know, the other thing, Ryan, that I think is really interesting to analyze is the play and usage of Xavier Johnson tonight. You know, X finishes with 11 points, 11 assists, and 2 turnovers. And I feel like if you said coming into the game, those are going to be his numbers, you might feel okay about, you know, you'd feel like Indiana was going to have a chance. But he was also 3 of 13 and really seemed to be a little bit out of sync with when to shoot, when not to shoot, when to force it, when not to. But he also just finished with the 2 fouls. And you think back to the first half, the game unraveled when he sat with the 2 fouls. Yeah. Now, you had to sit him there.
Well, it wasn't going great.
He was also plus 6 in the first half.
He came back, though. He came back in.
Well, he did. And, you know, for as up and down as he was, I mean, he threw that one pass right to Tommy Lloyd. Like, it wasn't a vintage X game, but you needed him on the floor as much as possible because it wasn't a game where Trey Galloway was going to be able to run point for you. Yeah. You know, and so he's only able to play 26 minutes, and as uneven as they were, you know, and look, there was that one stretch we were all texting each other, like, why isn't X in at the under 8-minute timeout? And that, you know, Indiana went on an 8-0 run, you know, with Trey and Tamar. And so they were able to kind of salvage that. But, you know, it kind of felt like one of those games where he, you know, if he's only got 2 fouls, you know, he needs to be on the court for more than 26 minutes. Now, he needs to be better. But, you know, 11 assists. I mean, Indiana was at least, you know, after that opening stretch where, yes, they struggled, you know, they were able to at least get some things done with him on the court. He just wasn't able to be out there enough.
Yeah, here's what I'll say about X. And first of all, Xavier Johnson can hit a pull-up jumper occasionally. But when you're down by that much, consistently trying pull-up jumpers is not a strategy for winning. That's a back-and-forth game. You get an open look, you take it kind of thing. And he hit one at one point, and I felt foolish. And then he missed a couple more, and I was like, oh, no, that's not what Indiana wants offensively. What I'll say about X is, and this is kind of plays to the whole Indiana's entire roster, it was almost like this game, at the beginning, the atmosphere and the type of game and the hype for it got Indiana way overhyped and way too much adrenaline. Guys were shooting the ball really like long on everything. They were rushing, all that. Arizona was calm because I think Arizona's guys have been in these situations before and been in games like this and been in big preseason tournament. They were just in Maui, where I'm sure every game was as hyped as that. There were some great games out there. Indiana didn't look comfortable with the atmosphere. And it's different when you have this atmosphere and you're playing at home and playing at Assembly Hall. It's different when you have to travel to do it, and it's such a hyped game, and it's such a big deal. They got rushed, and Arizona's a team that plays fast anyway, and they got Indiana to go way too fast early. That includes X. That includes Trey Galloway. They played way too fast. They didn't just take a deep breath and run and trust your offense. I don't care if they go on a 10-0 run. They went on a 17-0 run at one point. If they're on a 10-0 run, you still slow down and run your offense. You're not going to get that all back on one possession. You slow it down, make a bucket, stop their run, and move on. Indiana didn't do that. They were taking bad shots, and it was up and down the line. It wasn't just the guards. They were taking rushed shots, bad shots. But Xavier is the point guard. He's the one who's supposed to calm that stuff down. And he didn't. Now, again, later in the game, he played very well in the second half and showed exactly who he is in the second half. But as we've talked about, that first half, that first 9 minutes of the first half is where they lost this game.
And honestly, that's where Jalen Huccifino helps. Think about what he did against North Carolina. You know, I mean, that's what I mean, is I think having that second guy to help get you into stuff would have helped there.
Sure, it
and
helps.
It's not going to matter if he doesn't get healthy and get back into a game like this.
No, I agree that Huccifino helps Indiana in this game, and maybe at the start, too. I don't think it makes up the difference between these two teams if you just stack them next to each other. I mean, Arizona was favored to win this game, and they did. I mean, it's, you know, they're just a really good team. But moving forward, what you take from this isn't Indiana-Arizona, because the likelihood they play again this year is very small. So you take things from this game and apply them moving forward. And certainly you need Jalen Huccifino moving forward just for his perimeter defense alone, because they were getting so many open looks from three off of rotations and guys not closing out or over helping or, you know, doubling and then not getting back, whatever, over that ball screen at the top. You need his size, you need his strength, and you need his savvy defensively. So moving forward, Indiana's going to play road games and atmospheres like this in the Big Ten. A lot. They need to come out better and smarter and calmer. And when you have a veteran team, the starting lineup has a lot of veterans in it. They have to be better than that. They just have to be. You've been here before. Act like it, play like it.
Yeah. The interesting thing with X, just to just to talk through some of the usage stuff, there's just a couple odd stretches. You know, he came back in the first half. They took him out with about 5 minutes left. I was just kind of looking through the play-by-play on this. I think they were down 8, maybe. But they really had some momentum at that point. Had gotten back in it. I think, you know, if I'm trying to put myself in Woodson's head, it's like, all right, we've kind of weathered the storm. We've gotten back in it. I'm going to take him out. I don't want to risk him getting another foul. And I think you actually hit a 3 again shortly thereafter. But then Arizona responded with like 7-8 points in a row again. And he ends up putting him in for about the last minute of the first half. But it just, I guess his thought was, I don't want to play with fire that I've already, you know, played him so much with 2 fouls. But I just, especially the way the first half was going, I really struggled with taking him out at that point. But like I said, I feel like based on the way that he typically approaches playing guys with 2 fouls, he was probably like, okay, I rolled the dice as long as I could. And then in the second half, this is, I think, what you alluded to a minute ago, we were texting about it. I mean, he's over at the scorer's table ready to check in. Somebody hit a 3 and Arizona took a timeout, and it was, yeah, Race hit a 3, should have known. You know, gets IU within 6, and Woodson pulls him back from there, and there's not another dead ball until 4 minutes left, at which point IU is down by 9. So you basically lost 2 minutes of having a guy on the floor that really impacted the game. You only lost 3 points, but in that stretch of the game, that was super, I mean, that was super important. Yeah. And a lot of it was less his decision-making, which was, you know, kind of up and down as we talked about, but defensively, IU didn't have anybody else that could really, really put pressure on Kirk Risa, who apparently has found the key to, you know, taunting but not getting called for it, which, yeah, you know,
seriously,
who knows, which I actually don't care about. I'm
I don't care either
about it. It's just silly it the way that things are done. But yeah, I mean, in that stretch where, you know, in those 2 minutes, in that second half, like Kreese had a couple assists, I think hit a 3 in there. And it just didn't make any sense to me at that point. Is like, what are you holding him off for? It just didn't make sense to me to pull him back in that scenario. Really, probably not at the end of the first half. The end of the first half, I could probably make more peace with, I guess, than the second half stretch. But just seemed odd at that point, especially because he'd really been able to play without fouling. I think the second foul was pretty cheap, quite honestly. It looked like Kreese just came down oddly, like rolled his own ankle, fell over, and just because he was next to him, it was a foul call. Yeah. We won't get into. That was by far not the worst call of the evening. I think we all know what that one was. But I just thought in some of those stretches where I like that he went against, and he almost had to, the auto benching with 2 fouls scenario. But I thought within that, he still got really conservative with exit times, because for his, you know, as much as the shot selection left something to be desired at a certain point, offensively, if this team was going to get into anything, it had to be him being the one to do it.
You can be conservative when you're up 7. You can't be conservative when you're down.
Absolutely.
7.
Yeah. It's like you're down 6 with 6 minutes left. You've like, you know, this is your chance to make a quick push and really put game pressure on them down the stretch. And you kind of opted not to. He's the guy that puts pressure on them that they weren't concerned with. And IU wasn't that IU never had good stretches when X was off the court, but more often than not, if they had a good stretch, even if he wasn't the one doing it, he was a guy they had to account for, mm-hmm. and had to make sure, you know, they kept tabs on, and it just seemed like a really strange decision to me to make at that point in the game. And like I said, at that point, you don't really have timeouts if you're IU enough to just call a timeout to get it back in the game. So you're hoping that the next dead ball is pretty soon after. And it was over 2 minutes.
Yep. Okay, well, as we continue our breakdown of Indiana's loss to Arizona, we'll point out some meaningful moments you might have missed, and then we'll go inside the numbers to highlight the most important statistical notes from the game. You are listening to the Assembly Call. Stick with us.
This is Verdell Jones. What's better than an epic buzzer beater? The full court dribble and a perfectly placed pass to set it all up. And of course, celebrating with Hoosier Nation afterwards. So join Jared, Andy, Ryan, and Coach on the Assembly Call after every IU basketball game. Go Hoosiers.
Thank you, Verdell. You are listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. I'm Jared Morris. I'm here with Andy Bottoms and Ryan Phillips. Coach Donsoni is out in Vegas. Not sure what he's doing to drown his sorrows, but hopefully having fun out
he's
there.
He's drowning his sorrows to drown his sorrows.
All of the other Hoosiers. It's the top of segment two. You know what that means. Meaningful moments that you might have missed. Yes, meaningful moments you might have missed. And this is brought to you by our friends at Hoosier Ticket Project, where they help individuals and families experience IU athletic events in person for the first time through the generosity of alumni and fans. To learn more about how you can donate money or extra tickets to help create meaningful moments for other IU fans, visit HoosierTicketProject.org. That's HoosierTicketProject.org. We do need to mention, of course, the meaningful moment that nobody missed, which is the goaltend when it was 68-60. Should have been 68-62. Instead, it goes down the other way and it ends up 72-60. Just
and they called a
big
flop. They called a flop on
Renew.
It was absolutely not a flop.
And again,
one of the movements Tabellis made after getting touched in the first half acted like he got hit in the chest with a sledgehammer, and then
sniper got him.
Look, yeah. All I want to say about it is you got to apply stuff evenly. And so one of the other ones that I feel like may have gotten lost in the shuffle is early in the second half. It's 47-42. You know, Andy, we talked about this. Indiana battled back early in the second half and they got it to five. And you'll recall, Trey tries to fight through a screen. He falls. It looked on the replay like he got tripped, and Arizona makes a three. It was basically the exact same thing that X got his second foul for. Tripping. And it's that was the problem with the game, is some of those calls just weren't applied evenly. Arizona makes the three. They push it out to 52-42. You know, look, I don't think officiating caused Indiana to lose this game, but I do think it took away some chances where Indiana had some momentum in the second half. So, you know, that's all I'm going to say about it. Those are very frustrating moments. On a night when Indiana probably didn't have enough anyway to get it, they certainly didn't need to kind of be battling back, you know, against some of those calls.
Yeah, the only thing I'll add on that front, there was a dribble handoff in the first half that IU got called for. I think Bates is the one that got called for it. And it was a legit moving screen. The way he turned his body as he's handing the ball off is that there were countless screens on the other end where the same thing happened over and over and over again. But just because it wasn't a dribble handoff, like it didn't get
Tubelis did the exact same thing.
Tubelis did that multiple times. It was
he did that the exact same way, two times down the court. And what he did was he set that handoff, and then he spun into the guy and moved like he was posting him up.
Yeah, he was like a revolving
door. Which is illegal.
Door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and he did that a number of times. And it's a savvy play. Look, if they're not going to call it, keep doing it. But the fact that the officials get fooled by it is the problem. It's not, I don't blame Tubelis for doing that. He's getting away with it. It's a savvy play, and he's getting his guy open for a three. And if Indiana jumps to avoid him for that, he's wide open for a layup. And he was several times tonight. The officiating was horrible. It was horrible.
It was terrible.
And especially, I thought it was at its worst in the second half in that key stretch. There was about a 5-minute stretch there that included Galloway's floater that was as obvious. I mean, the Arizona fans I saw were like, what the hell? Why didn't they call that? it was almost right in the hoop. And I saw one guy say it was an alley-oop. I'm like, if it's going to hit the rim, it doesn't matter if it's intended to be an alley-oop. If it's going to hit the rim, it is absolutely a goaltend if you go up and grab that. That was just silly. Just absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, no, it is. So we need to get that out there, but let's move on because we'll just get angry talking about that.
Like I need anything else to make me angry.
Yeah, I know. Andy, the moments that I want to point out actually happened late in the game, and there were two straight possessions. One was a lob to Trace Jackson Davis. The other was where they got him the ball on a cut, and he scored and got fouled. And look, this was not a good game for Trace. He had 11 points. He was 4 of 10 from the field, you know, 5 rebounds. He fouled out, you know, had a couple of blocks and a steal, but he just wasn't, he was never able to get in a rhythm, was never able to impose his will. To me, these last three games, even, you know, against Nebraska when he had the triple-double, he doesn't have his normal quickness. He doesn't have his normal bounce. You know, we know he's dealing with back issues. Coach texted us and said he's reaching for his back, you know, every time they go to the bench. So we know he's not 100%. But I guess my question, Andy, is why did we wait so long to get him the ball on the move like that? It really felt like so many possessions we were kind of back to, you know, Trace on the block, you know, and everybody just passing it around to try and get an angle to get it into him, never really able to do it. And, you know, we didn't see a lot of the screen and rolls. We didn't see a lot of it where you kind of get him moving and you get him as a cutter. And you saw it there at the end. You know, maybe part of that was Arizona's defense was a little bit more relaxed, perhaps. But it just, it felt like offensively, and look, it was going to be tough for Trace posting up anyway. He's 6'9", going up against 6'11", 7-foot guys. I just didn't quite understand why we used him like that and why we didn't do some of the other things that we've seen, you know, have success. Now, you know, he wasn't going to be driving by guys because they completely sagged off of him, you know, so I get that. But it did just seem like there was a lack of creativity in getting him involved in a night where you had to get him involved.
Yeah, I do think they tried to play through him a little bit in the post at the beginning of the second half. I know they made mention of that on the broadcast. They really came out to do that. But to me, it felt very much like every matchup against Kofi Coburn, short of the Big Ten tournament last year.
Yeah.
Where you're just relying on him to overpower someone that is bigger and stronger than he is.
Yes.
And to your point, then, especially because later in the game, after Race had hit those threes, I think that was one of the issues with that approach potentially in the first half, is like they basically weren't guarding Race Thompson at all early in the game. But once he'd hit a few threes, like that should open some things up. And it just seemed, and maybe part of that is a function of not having X in there as a guy who's a playmaker for a while, but he was obviously been there most of the second half before they did that. Yeah, it just seemed, it just seemed like you're continuing to beat your head against the wall. All I kept thinking was like, this is like the matchup with Kofi Coburn. I just or kept going back to that.
You know,
like, so
they kept just trying to straight post him, you know, and you need to move him. I mean, that's Trace does have some of the ability to move with the basketball, especially inside about 15 feet, and just didn't want him to do that. They're going a straight post up offense, even the pick and roll stuff. I mean, I realized the lane was congested, but it does open up things for shooters too. It opens up, you know, gets the defense moving, and they didn't really feel like they wanted to do much of that. They did it a little bit, but they did, when they did the pick and roll, it was really far out on the court instead of right along the 3-point line.
So, you know, I mean, look, at the end of the day, you know, Trace is an All-American candidate. He's a guy, you know, should be a first-team All-Big Ten player. He's the guy, you know, got all the plaudits for getting the triple-double against Nebraska. You know, I'm curious, Ryan, how you assess his play tonight, because this is a stage that he has to rise to. I find myself, and I want you to tell me if I'm wrong here, I find myself thinking more about how he just doesn't look like the same guy and they didn't use him now properly. Now, I think I still feel like there needed to be a way for him to impose his will more on the glass, you know, find a way to get involved. But I'm not sure how much of that blame should go at his feet and how much, you know, this is a game to, you know, kind of walk away from it being like, okay, let's get him healthy and use him better, because he was kind of put in some bad positions tonight.
Look, Ballo is really difficult to defend, and so is Tubelis. And he was on both of them at different points tonight. And quite frankly, you can do everything right and get beat. I mean, you saw Race Thompson at one point, Tubelis, who's like 6'10". He's bigger than Race. And he backed him down. Race was right there, jumped with him, had his hand up in his face, and the ball went in. And you saw Race just stick his arms up like, what am I supposed to do? And the answer is nothing. I mean, sometimes the other guy is just better than you. And there's nothing that can be, change that. And on offensively and defensively, Trace was not as good as Ballo, because of his size. And it's not skill or anything. He's bigger, he's stronger, he will get around you to get an offensive rebound no matter how hard you're doing. And Trace's back is bothering him. I mean, it's all those things mixed into one. But sometimes there are just bad matchups where a guy is better than you. We saw it with Kofi Coburn for years. And when I say better, I don't mean like you're not trying hard enough or you're not skilled enough or whatever. It's just, it's a bad matchup. And in this matchup, he wins. You know, he gets the plus sign next to his name. He's going to be better than you. And those are going to exist. And the fact that Trace is a 6'9" center, that's going to get exposed at times.
That's why the way we used him just made no sense to me. It's like we figured out what to do against Kofi Coburn.
It's not a game where Trace Jackson Davis doing a straight post up is going to get you anything. Dude is 7 yes. feet and his help is 6'10". You know, I mean, So, that's what you're looking at there. I mean, there's nothing more he could have done. And the way Indiana stayed in the game was not by Trace going off. It was by hitting 3-pointers, something we've hammered them to do all year. And they started doing it. Miller Kopp, Tamar Bates kept him in this game with 3-point shots. Race Thompson, of course, kept him in the game because, look, they scored 22 points in the paint against 42 for Arizona. That's a, you lost that battle by 20 points, and it's the thing you hang your hat on. The only reason they were in this game is because they knocked down shots.
Yeah. Andy, do you have any moments before we talk about stats?
Yeah, there was one, and I guess it's a good good way to talk about Bates, but there was that, I think Trey started it with a block, kicked it up to X, threw it ahead to Bates, who gets a layup. It was the second basket in a row, and
cut it to nine.
Texted you guys. It was like, you know, maybe just him seeing the ball go through the hoop. He had taken a kind of like in between floater jump shot on the possession before, just because he kind of had to shoot it. That happened to go in. He sees the layup go through, and then he really took off from there.
Yeah. He's arrived.
So it was a good, you know, one of few transition opportunities for IU today, quite honestly. Yeah. But started with a good
defensive
play.
I expected way more fast break points from both teams in this. I'm sorry to cut you off, Andy.
Oh, you're good. No. Go ahead.
Yeah, I expected way more fast break points from both teams. Both teams had 15.
He's not really sorry, Andy.
I'm not. I just feel like I have to say it. Yeah.
It's the most disingenuous thing that's ever said on the show.
Sorry, man.
When people say they're sorry. I question how much they really mean, but that's fine.
Scott does that all the time on Crimson Cast. He'll go, not to cut you off, and then just keeps going.
And then he will cut you off.
and then he'll cut you off.
I wonder Scott and I get along so well.
So, yeah. all right, let's go inside the numbers, guys. Pick out a few key stats to talk about this game. Look, you know, I think it starts on the positive side, 10 of 25 from downtown. I don't know what it is about that number 25, but Indiana's now taken 25 threes in three straight games. They made six of them against Rutgers, 11 against Nebraska, 10 in this game. And you know,
I think they started. Weren't they like one of the first 10?
Yes.
I want to say
yes,
yes. And you know, look,
they were 0 of their first 8, I think, and then they hit once. It was 1 of 9. If I'm, yep. I might be wrong there, but it was close. I think they were 1 of 10 at one point.
And I'll tell you what, man, I appreciated Miller Kopp's attitude in the first half. He was bound and determined to make a three because he knew that we needed, you know, a lift, and he just kept shooting. You know, he missed his first few, but you can tell he's really turned a corner confidence-wise. You know, you could tell tonight. Tamar has turned a corner confidence-wise. You can just tell the way those guys are shooting. You know, I don't think, you know, Andy, you mentioned the one, you know, the one shot from Tamar that he kind of had to chuck up. You know, all the other ones, even his long, I think he's now kind of got the green light from the mid-range.
Couple pull-up jumpers.
Yeah. I mean, but those, they looked smooth, you know? And so I think, you know, the way that he's shooting and confident, you're going to live with those. And obviously, Race Thompson, who seems to have added super arc to his three-point shot, you know, he was able to shoot. And so, you know, we've been talking about that. Some nights, you're not going to play that well, and you have just got to make threes to be in a game, to stick with it, to make runs.
This is why we harp on it.
You know, this is why we harp on it. You know, and I will say, Ryan, back to a point that you made earlier, Arizona looked comfortable in the environment. We really didn't, you know, and so, and I think that's a very fair point. Hopefully playing in this environment now helps prepare us for the future.
And that's, you know, why you
seeing,
do it.
Yes, totally. You
that's
know,
why so Kentucky always wants to play in domes preseason. You know, early.
No,
early
it makes
in the
sense.
Season.
Yeah. I mean, it was a great game for Indiana to play, and so I think, you know, seeing Indiana go 21 for 50 from downtown, you know, the last couple of games, is obviously a good sign moving forward. And so, you know, that's probably the biggest positive to take from it from a numbers perspective. Andy, what other numbers jumped out to you?
Well, I mean, I feel like I have to. Ryan probably wants to interrupt anyway, and he has billed something in the chat as I have a stat that tells
the story.
Oh, I got it.
Is it 89.75?
Yeah, well, that was my second one. You just ruined it. Thanks. No, 19 of 44 from two. They were 43% from two. I mean, that's you got to shoot better from 2 point. They're one of the best 2 point shooting teams in the country, and they only shot 43.2% from two. I mean, that's, you know, that typically that is you're getting out muscled, you're getting out bodied, you're getting moved around,
or you're 4 inches shorter than the guys you're going up against.
Both that as well. But you know, I mean,
but you have to have good recognition of when to shoot and when not to
shoot it and when not to. And also, as you said, how to use your big guys better, going making it find a way to make it so they're going to the hoop, not backed up. I mean, there was a point where Race Thompson got a ball in the post against Tubelis, and this was very early on, this was before he hit those threes and really got into the game, I thought, but he backed him down a little, and then when he went up, he was just leaning back, you know, instead of going up through the guy. And we've talked about Trace Jackson Davis, his freshman and sophomore year, when he was playing a bigger guy, he would do that. You know, he just leaned back and kind of fling it against the backboard. Well, Race Thompson leaned back and didn't go into Tubelis. If you go lean back like that, even if you get your arm hit, they're not going to call a foul. because you're falling back and the shot got blocked. And it's, you know, if you go up strong into the guy, you're at least going to get fouled possibly, or, you know, make it so the official has to make a call or make a decision on a call. And you know what, if he doesn't give it to you there, he realizes he didn't give you a 50-50 call. He might give you another one later on. But yeah, you shoot 43.2% from two, you're going to lose the game. I mean, it's, you've got to do, unless you hit 23s, you're going to lose the game. And especially when you're built the way Indiana's built. So whether it's that or the guards and guys taking pull up twos, I mean, Tamar hit a shot I thought was a three, but apparently his foot was on the line. You know, there was a long two. Yeah, you take a lot of long twos and you're not making them, you're going to lose the game. So I thought that 2-point field goal percentage really tells the story of the game.
Yeah. Andy, any others?
You know, the big one, when they got behind by so much, they really had that rash of turnovers there. And so, you know, give up 16 points off turnovers in the second half, just two turnovers in total and 2 points off turnovers in the second half. You know, that just goes back to the, you know, the hole that they dug from there. You know, I think the other is 14 shot attempts for Race Thompson. You know, he shot it well from three after being a little hesitant early. But, you know, very seldom is the game plan going to be for him to be the guy who takes the most shots.
And 2 of 7 from two.
For him. Yeah, and that's really, you know, Arizona to come out at the beginning. And I mean, they adjusted some where they would step out to him a little bit more as the game went on. But at the very beginning of the game, I mean, I think it was Rafferty who basically said it was almost like they were playing a zone with his guy just kind of roaming and not guarding him. And it just goes back to, how do you get trace the ball in places where you want him to, you know, give him scoring opportunities, as opposed to taking what the defense gives, sometimes is fine, but, you know, leads to some of that. I mean, you had, you know, the shots were very concentrated among four guys. And I guess the other stat, for lack of a better term, is I think zero, which is the number of minutes that Jordan Geronimo played in the second half, unless I missed it. I thought he gave him some good active minutes.
He was impactful in the first half.
They had that weird lineup in where basically like Miller Kopp was playing the two guard at one point. I think that was toward the end of the first half, where it was Galloway, Kopp, Geronimo, Race, and Trace. And I don't think this was a game where you probably could have played Geronimo a ton at the four, just because athleticism wise is one thing, but just in terms of being able to push those guys out far enough. But did think he was really active when he was in there. Maybe that was just a function of Kopp playing really well and, you know, continuing to provide some scoring. But just thought it was strange that he didn't play really at all, or maybe he got back in at the very end. But I don't remember him coming in the second half.
No, I don't think he did. The other stat, obviously, is Arizona shot 25 free throws and we shot 9. You know, some of that one maybe is calls, but part of it is just they're the bigger team. They were the more aggressive team. They were in position, and you're going to shoot more free throws when that happens. And so, you know, to give up everything Indiana gave up and then to have them, you know, just making more free throws, because actually, you know, Indiana actually took more shots tonight. Indiana took 69 field goal attempts. Arizona took 63. So Indiana actually got more shots up, but, you know, Arizona obviously much more efficient with theirs, and they were able to get more from the line. Ryan, anything else in the numbers category?
No, I thought I knocked it out with that 2-point field goal percentage. Yeah, I'll just reiterate the fast break points. It was 15-15. I was expecting way more, especially from Arizona, who plays at such a high rate and tries to run so much. And you see, like, Tubelis is down the floor like that every single time. But, yeah, I think that, you know, there's something worth talking about, and that's, I think, Malik Renew, just, again, for about the fourth straight game, really didn't offer that much. And I think that it's not a coincidence that since the North Carolina game, he's struggled. And that's the first time he played a really genuine college big man. And
I mean, he did against Xavier and he played pretty well in that game.
But Xavier's post guys were fine, but they're not, you know, great. I don't think
they're legit. I mean, that's what solid. I mean. So he played decent that game, but he hasn't given Indiana much since then.
Playing, you know, he's played guys that could wind up in the NBA the last couple games. I mean, you know, Rutgers, was completely outmatched. And then today, and against North Carolina, just really didn't do much. I think, you know, he's scored in the last four games, 2 points, 2 points, 4 points, and 4 points, and has not looked, you know, but that's, you know, he's a freshman. If you're relying on Malik Renew to win you a game against Arizona, you got bigger problems than anything. But it just is interesting. He's sort of hit that wall where he's finally playing grown men, essentially, and he's struggling to adjust physically. to it. And you're seeing him, you know, he tried to back down Ballow at one point. Ballow just kind of stood there and looked at him like, what are you doing? Like, you know, and he had to pass it out because it's just, you're not going to move a 7-footer like that as an 18-year-old kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the biggest difference to me, NBA pedigree or not, Xavier's big men are more, I'll say finesse big men, for
yes,
lack of a better
a good
term.
Ball. The other guys are strong.
Certainly Nungy wants to play a little bit more outside, but even Fremantle is a little bit more of that kind of look versus a bruiser like a Baycott or Ballow or Tubelis or whatever.
No, that's true. That is true. Okay, coming up on the assembly call, we're going to hand out some game balls and the Hoosier Hustle Award. We'll discuss a few lingering questions, and then we will look ahead to what is coming up, which for this team is good because it's a break. That is next. You're on the assembly call. Stick with us.
Thomas Bryant. What's the only thing better than being Kentucky in the NCAA tournament? Celebrating it with friends afterwards. Join Jared, Andy, Ryan, and Coach after every IU basketball game. Go Hoosiers.
Thank you, Thomas. You're listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. Catch us live immediately following every IU basketball game and every Thursday night at our website, assemblycall.com. And make sure that you sign up for our free IU Hoops email newsletter. You can join for free today at join.assemblycall.com. That's join.assemblycall.com. I'm Jared Morris. Ryan Phillips is here. Andy Bottoms is here. And gentlemen, it is time for the game ball, which is presented by our friends at Bloom Environmental, where Allie and James and the crew help folks in southern and south central Indiana maintain healthy air quality in their home or business. You can learn more at bloomenviro.com. And when you mention this ad, you get 23% off all their testing services in honor of TJD. That's bloomenviro.com. Andy, let's go to you first. Who gets your game ball for tonight's performance?
Well, I was really hoping you go to somebody else first.
I can go first if you'd like.
I mean, to me, it was down to Race and Tamar are the two that I looked at. On the one hand, you've got Race led the team in scoring and rebounding. I thought struggled a little bit on the defensive end of things. And then, you know, Bates gives you 13 big points off the bench. So I felt like those were the two. I guess I'll go with Race because I think it was a much needed uplift to really have somebody bang in some threes at that point with him. And hopefully one that gives him some confidence going forward to take that shot, take it with a little bit more confidence. So I'll go with him just the way that he stepped up offensively and really kind of helped not even things out in the front court, but helped offset some of Trace's struggles and the fact that he didn't score very much. And the fact that he almost ended up with a double-double, I'll go with him.
Ryan?
I'm going a totally different direction. I'm going with Miller Kopp. I thought all four of his threes were enormous. He also led the team in minutes with 39, and he was out there. And I thought early on he was not good defensively. They were clearly going right at him. I thought he really stepped up his game in the second half defensively. I thought he played well. He did have that one rebound that went off his hands out of bounds, which is rough. And there were four of those tonight that Indiana could have secured a rebound. It wound up being a team rebound out of bounds for Arizona. Really rough. But Miller, the threat of his three-point shooting the entire night spread out the floor for Indiana. You could see even early, as soon as he caught it, there was a guy on him. And when guys were closing out, he would shoot it right in their face. And he had very few where he was just standing there wide open for, you know, 5 seconds waiting. And I think that his, you know, ability to have that kind of confidence is going to be enormous for Indiana moving forward, because you got to have somebody who can knock it down. He was 5-9 on the night, 4-8 from three, three rebounds, an assist, one turnover, and a steal, and had played 39 minutes and looked like he was ready to shoot the whole time. So I got Miller. I got to give him credit for that tonight.
Yeah, the one thing that I thought they missed some opportunities in the first half where they just did not make good passes to him.
Nope. He was wide. He got himself open. Yep.
And they were, to your point, they were staying pretty tight to him. But by the time he, you know, got control of the ball and got ready to shoot, they had been able to close out, which is a credit to their defense as well. But definitely some opportunities to hit him in rhythm to shoot that were missed.
Yeah,
that's a subtle thing that Jalen really helps with too. He's really good at that, you know.
Well, and guys who were usually good passers were missing. I mean, Galloway threw a couple that were just
sped up, as you said.
That's the thing. And here's the thing is, you know, with a shooter like that, like he can recover catching a ball over here, and then but you got to reset yourself. As Andy said, they're closed out at that point. You catch him in rhythm, he'll nail it, and he did tonight. And he's starting to look more and more confident every game, and it's really a huge lift for Indiana.
You know, this is obviously a really disappointing loss, but, you know, sometimes you have a loss like this and you come on here and it just feels like there's no performances worthy of a game ball, you know, and tonight it doesn't feel like that. You know, I think, Ryan, you make good points about Miller. Andy, everything that you said about Race and Tamar was true. Xavier Johnson, for all the poor decisions on shots, 11 assists, 2 turnovers, and was the one guy who was +4. Like, Indiana outscored Arizona when he was on the court. You know, so I think there's a lot of different ways that you could go, you know, and guys, despite some poor execution and the big hole early, some guys really stepped up on a big stage. And I think that's the biggest thing that I'm hoping guys take from this. Certain individuals come out of this with some confidence, like, man, I'm disappointed we lost, but dude, I did some stuff tonight, you know, in a high level game. I'm going to give mine to Race Thompson, because I think at the end of the day, the production matters. 16 points and 9 boards. You know, look, obviously he's at a big disadvantage playing the four against, you know, two guys that are 6'11 and 7 foot. And it did seem like there were certain times he could have been in better position and, you know, some of those things, but you step up and make those 3-pointers. Like, at the end of the day, that's huge. Race Thompson making 3-pointers changes everything for this team. And this is why he has to keep shooting them. Everybody's saying Race needs to stop shooting. He has to. If he's going to play, he's got to shoot. And what he's got to do is start making more of them. That is the answer. And tonight, he made them. And so, you know, we've seen it before. You know, I don't think anybody's ready to say, like, okay, Race is ready to be a real stretch four. We've seen ups and downs and him have a few big games. But, you know, for him to do it on this stage, again, hopefully a big confidence builder for a guy who's been really up and down. But I thought tonight, when Indiana, you know, in that first half, just needed someone to produce and put the ball in the bucket, he did it, and it gave Indiana a chance to breathe a little bit and battle back. So I will give it to him. That is Race Thompson's first game ball of the season. Trace Jackson Davis leads with 5. Malik X, Tamar, Miller, and Trace all have 1. And now it is time for the Hoosier Hustle Award.
Hi, this is Anthony Leal, reminding you to check out our friends at Evansville Security Services. Based in the hometown of IU legend Calvert Cheney, Evansville Security Services has been providing off-duty police officers to businesses and individuals since 2001. In other words, they're in the business of prevention and peace of mind. And remember, prevention cannot be measured. To learn more about how Evansville Security Services can help you preserve your peace of mind by preventing bad outcomes, visit EvansvilleSecurityServices.com. That's EvansvilleSecurityServices.com.
Thank you, Anthony. Nice to see that Anthony was back out warming up with the team. That boot off, so hopefully he can get back on the court here soon. All right, Ryan, let's go to you first, your Hoosier Hustle Award, and I know you have big plans for tonight, and you got to leave us, not staying with us for the full show. Walking out on your teammates.
Hey, you know what? I'm sorry the game went insanely long. Tamar Bates, 13 points, 6 of 10 from the field, 2 rebounds. I also thought he chased as hard as he could defensively. You know, Arizona just ran good stuff a lot of the time. I mean, let's be real. They're a very, very well-coached team, and they ran good offense with really talented players. I mean, no matter how much you chase, sometimes a guy's going to get an open look. It's just, you know, that's what good offense does against even against good defense. You're going to, you know, you can guard him right 90% of the time, but that 10%, they're going to get the open look. And so I really thought he played well. It's really nice to see him emerging. This is the guy we saw in high school, you know, against, you know, commensurate competition, is, and he's developing into that. And his confidence and his ability to step up on both ends is huge. And as we've seen with Tamar, one end of the floor often informs the other. And if he makes a great play defensively, he tends to go down and play pretty well offensively, and vice versa. So he really got into this game and started playing really well. And you know, I love to see that kid play with confidence. He's a lot of fun to watch play.
So do we need to give you your stage for final thoughts now?
No, just go.
Oh, okay.
Read the chat, Jared. We have a private chat right there.
Oh, just let me go. Okay, sorry. I thought you needed to go first right now.
Well, that's fine. But then you know, okay, we also probably will hit some kind of lingering question before we get to final thoughts.
It's fine. Right after until this, I say I've got to go, we can go, guys. Come on.
Yeah. I am also going to give it to Tamar. And, you know, we talked about the shooting. But, you know, look, on a night when just securing, you know, loose balls and rebounds was an issue, there was a great play that really stood out to me. And it was... it was in that stretch when Indiana had cut it to three and then Arizona pushed it back out. I think they were up seven. And it was either a rebound or someone, you know, kind of tapped the ball away from an Arizona guy and it's kind of going down the baseline and Tamar just dove on it and corralled it. And it's one of those plays, it's like, yes, that's what you got to do sometimes when the ball is out there. You just have to find a way to get it. You know, and so I thought he was, you know, he was hustling, he was scoring, he was doing everything that you want to see, Andy, from a guy who we said all offseason, of all the guys here, you know, Jalen Huchefino being as advertised and Tamar Bates kind of fulfilling his promise are the two things that really change the ceiling for this team. You know, we're kind of in a wait and see with Jalen to get him healthy. We've seen how impactful he can be. Meanwhile, the last few games, Tamar has really stepped up, you know, and that gives you some hope that when you get everybody back together, this can still be the team that we hope it can.
Yeah, I mean, his play continues. That's who I was going to give mine to as well. And I think he's, as you said, for a game that was disappointing in some ways, at least in terms of the way that IU played early on and the hole they dug for themselves, there were some solid performances to highlight. And I think it just becomes a matter of how this team, or if this team, or when this team can really put it all together with the pieces that they have. Because, you know, tonight, Xavier Johnson and TJD, your two stars combined for 22 points, and we're 7 of 23 from the floor, and we're, you know, both tied for fourth as your leading scorer. And the fact that IU was in this game with those things happening at various points is a testament to guys like Race that we talked about, and Kopp that we talked about, and Tamar Bates. So I think it's a matter of, you know, maybe hopefully a good problem to have once Huchefino comes back, but how you dole out the minutes in the backcourt where you've had some productive minutes from Galloway and you've had Bates play well. I think a lot of what we thought about the depth of this team has been reaffirmed. Just need to get back to a point where everybody's actually playing at the same time so that you can figure out how you want to dish out the minutes and the rotations and all of those kinds of things. But yeah, another really encouraging performance from him on a bigger stage. That was one of the questions I think was something you had brought up on the Friday show that you did for the community in terms of how he'd shot in the bigger games that IU had had, and that had been a struggle. And this is one that suited him well, and he played well and rose to the occasion.
This was really his first really good scoring performance in kind of a tough environment. A lot of his other big games, the Nebraska game last year at home, his big games this year, they came at home. He really hadn't done much. He didn't do much against Xavier, didn't do much against Rutgers, didn't do much against North Carolina. That's why seeing him do this tonight in this environment is just, I think, it's the biggest storyline to me coming out of the game because of what it could potentially mean moving forward for Indiana. Lingering questions. The biggest lingering question is health. When do you get Jalen Huchefino back? You know, when does Trace get back to looking like himself?
You know, a week off.
Yeah, a week off until Kansas. That's huge, you know, for this group, you know, which just needs some time off. I think my big lingering question, Ryan, is what is Indiana going to get out of Malik Renew? You know, and what is Jordan Geronimo's role on this team right now? Because he's also a guy who in Indiana's biggest games hasn't been able to really make an imprint, you know, and he made some, I thought, decent plays early in the game, didn't get a chance in the second half. And Malik, as we talked about, when he gets in there, he's ready to do stuff. Right now, the stuff he's ready to do isn't working against some of these guys. And so he's going to have to really start picking his spots a little bit better. And you don't want to pull the aggressiveness back, but he's over dribbling too much. He's just trying to do things in situations that he's not ready to do right now.
Yeah, and I thought Jordan traveled like three times when he got the ball and kind of shuffled his feet. And, you know, again, it's a fast game, and he does not do well with fast games because he just isn't as good a ball handler as he probably should be at this point. And I love his effort. I love his energy. I love his chase down blocks. I love him in the open floor, and I love him sort of running the baseline. But, you know, out on the perimeter, handling the basketball is not where he belongs right now. And maybe one day he gets there, but it's not, you know, that's not it for him right now. And with Malik, I think he's just got to get used to facing bigger, stronger guys in the post, just like Trayce Jackson-Davis had to get used to that. He's got the skill. He's got the footwork. He's got the ball handling ability. But you know what? He's also young, and when you screw something up, you get frustrated and try and make up for it, and you screw another thing up, and you're compounding mistakes. And he's also not guarding, you know, without fouling right now. He's guarding and being very handsy. And again, a trait of a young guy right there. And so he's just going through the freshman thing right now. And we haven't seen Jalen Hood-Schifino really get bogged down by that yet. We also haven't seen him in a couple of our big games. So we'll see. I think that Malik will eventually find his place. It's just going to take some time.
So the other lingering question is, and this is coming from the chat mob, does Andy realize that his new setup, it looks like he has a giant man bun on top of his head based on...
I noticed that
based on the framing.
You might want to just angle it a little to the right.
I just sit over this way.
Yeah, there you go.
We all needed a laugh tonight, Andy.
Well, people were saying they liked it, Andy.
Something to try out. It's good to know.
Andy, any other, what are some lingering questions for you coming out of this in terms of like, what does Indiana need to do now to be able to go compete at Kansas? I mean, the environment's going to be great. Kansas, you know, they went to Missouri and just put a smackdown on them tonight. But they're not, they don't seem like a vintage Kansas team yet this season, you know, so it seems like if Indiana, so it seems like Indiana should have a chance in that game, but you know, it's kind of tough to say that walking out of what we just saw tonight.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's going to be a totally different game from a matchup standpoint. Kansas does not have hardly plays anybody taller than 6'8". They really play a lot of small ball. Jalen Wilson is 6'8". He's, you know, I wouldn't say he's playing center, but as you look through like what the lineup stuff is on KenPom, he's the one that gets listed there. I think really KJ Adams he's 6'7", probably maybe more of a guy that they'll match up on other teams' bigs, but that is really the question, because that gives a different challenge to Race and Trayce, right? As you go through and try to work through those things, they had their hands full tonight based on the size. Now they're going to be put on the move and in some uncomfortable situations from that perspective. So Kansas just basically starts four guys that are between 6'6" and 6'8", but don't really have anybody huge. So I think that's really the biggest lingering question for me, is what that means from a matchup standpoint. How does IU guard in that scenario? And is that something that they're able to take advantage of from a rebounding perspective? Are they able to find better ways to get TJD the ball inside in a game where maybe a straight post up is a little bit more of a logical way to attack Kansas' defense? But Kansas' defense is always really good. They always run really good offense. So I think, you know, in a team that is able to run sets really well, like you had with Arizona tonight, how do you rebound from that defensively? And I think you tie that in a little bit to, you know, what you mentioned with the health piece of it. And you look at IU's schedule and go through it. You know, this is where earlier in the year you kind of felt there's basically like 2 weeks, really 2.5 weeks following the Kansas game where you only got two games against Elon and Kennesaw State. And is that your opportunity to get guys healthy before the Big Ten? Do you kind of gut it out, get yourself through this Kansas game, and then you've got time for people to really do that? Now you get the chance to get a little bit rusty from a basketball perspective during that. But I think that'll be the lingering question coming out of the Kansas game, is in terms of like, how does IU use that schedule and can they use it to their advantage?
The man bun is really just the story of the day in the chat.
I can't unsee it either, to be honest with you. Now that people have said it, I find that I need to keep like moving myself around a little bit.
Yeah, it's in your head now. There you go. There you go.
You got to show up to the meetup like with an actual man bun now, Andy.
Well, there's not a chance that's going to happen. There's a variety of reasons that are going to make that really difficult. So,
look, we're going to have a lot of time to talk about this. We'll have Assembly Call Radio this week. We'll have content in the community. So we'll be looking ahead to this game against Kansas. I'll just say briefly, my lingering question is, how does Tamar Bates approach that game? He's back home. He's going to be as amped up as he's ever been. And again, tonight we saw him on a big stage step up. He's going to have to be able to, and Indiana's going to need him. It's clear they're going to need that scoring punch off the bench. He's going to have to manage that and harness that in a good way to where he channels it the right way. Because, you know, sometimes you get overly amped up And especially for a guy like him that's kind of a rhythm shooter, that can get you out of your rhythm. But, you know, I think he's a guy that can be a, kind of a big game player. And now that he's starting to get his rhythm, I think he really has a chance to swing that game. So how does he come out, manage the emotions of that moment, I think will be big for Indiana. All right, you're listening to the Assembly Call. Remember to check out our friends at Home Field Apparel. Use the promo code HOME at checkout, and you will get 15% off your first order. Gentlemen, it is time for last call. Ryan, of course, we will go to you first.
Oh, there you go. Look,
maybe you should try a man bun for your date tonight. You could bun that up.
He's got a lot better chance of pulling it off than I do. I'll tell you that.
Indiana just played a better team than them tonight. I just think that talent-wise, Arizona is really good. It was a measuring stick game for Indiana, and they came up short. That doesn't mean that Indiana can't be a great team this year and can't have a very successful season, but they need to do a lot of things better. And when you play a team that is more talented than you, you cannot give them anything. And they gave them a 19-point lead to start the game. That was the difference of the ball game. And they just, I don't know, didn't come ready to play, didn't come out the gate. Same thing that happened at Rutgers. And so this team needs to get better at that and be ready to play from the jump. And if you're not ready to play from the jump against a good team, you're going to lose. And so that's what they learned tonight. When you play better teams, you learn things. And that's what they learned. And I don't think this is some massive failing by Indiana. It just shows you where you are in the pecking order nationally. And it's you're a step below the best out there. And when you're a step below, as I said, you have to make them play poorly. You have to make it so they're not playing their best, and you have to absolutely play your best to get a win. And so we learned that about Indiana tonight and about what the field looks like nationally. Now go win the Big Ten, you know, compete, win the Big Ten, and maybe next time you face a team like this, you know, you're ready to play, and you play better, and you bring their level down, and you up yours. That's what has to happen. So, I mean, disappointing, I think, for everybody, but they just didn't, you know, what we thought probably was going to happen happened.
I'm going to pull that up yours out of context and totally.
You can. I say it to you often.
Absolutely.
Saw Andy smirk too. So we're reconvening in what, 3 hours for AC After Dark to get a full breakdown of how tonight goes.
This would be a great place to insert Ryan, the up yours he just gave you as a response to you.
All right. See you, man. Andy, last call.
I'd echo a lot of what Ryan said. I think defensively in this game, if you compare it to the North Carolina game, IU did a really good job of making North Carolina uncomfortable. And I don't think at any point tonight Arizona looked or felt uncomfortable, both on offense or really just in the game. I think they always felt like if they needed to get a bucket, they could get one by getting the ball inside. Hit a bunch of timely threes, which is probably what makes it seem like they shot better from three than IU did, even though those numbers really evened themselves out. It just seemed like every time IU made a run, they had one that they could hit to stem the tide. But I think overall, a good experience for IU. These are the types of games that we want to see IU play in. And a game like this requires something different than, you know, sometimes the tackle basketball of the Big Ten. And I thought it was a little bit of a microcosm what you see, not to go back and, you know, pound on some of the officiating again, but almost on a smaller scale, it was what you kind of see the Big Ten get into in terms of, you know, how they play and how rugged it can be. And then you get in a game like this where things are a little bit more wide open, and how do you adapt to that? So I think in that regard, it's good. Now you're going to fall right back into the, you know, into Big Ten play here come January. But it did feel a little bit like, you know, that transition from regular season to postseason from a Big Ten perspective.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think a good measuring stick. I don't know that IU played as badly as maybe the final score would indicate, but I also don't think they're on the level of where Arizona is right now. Doesn't mean they can't get there over the course of the year. And I think to attempt to end it on a positive note, as we talked about before, there were a lot of good individual performances in the game. It just wasn't a great team performance. And
yep.
As you get, ideally, Jalen Huchefino back, you get Trace a little bit healthier. If they can put all the pieces together that they've shown individually, that, you know, how they've improved, I think that gives you reason for optimism for the season, What we don't know yet is when's everybody going to be healthy? Can they fit all those pieces together? How do you dish out the minutes? You know, what does Tamar Bates's role look like if he continues to play this well? Kopp has earned the right to play more minutes. So I think that's a potentially good problem to have. But, you know, all is not lost for one game against a really good team in December on a neutral floor. Certainly not going to hurt you from a resume standpoint. And you get another crack at one of the big boys on Saturday against Kansas. And like I said, in a game that's going to look a whole lot different from a personnel standpoint than this one. And we'll see how IU's able to bounce back and adapt to that.
Yeah. I mean, certainly winning the Xavier game and beating North Carolina allowed you to go into this not feeling like you were desperate to get a win just to salvage the non-conference, you know? And so from that perspective, Andy, you're right. There's the opportunity cost if you didn't get a big resume building victory, but it's not a loss that's going to hurt you. You know, and I think what is most disappointing is I think what all Indiana fans really just wanted in a showcase game like this, we're back on a national stage, is let's put our best foot forward. And I think the main frustration that most of us are going to take away from that is feeling like we didn't. In part because of how the team played, you know, just not executing early, digging that big hole. You've got to fight back. And there was, you know, there was some valor in the way that they fought back and some good things to take from it. I thought the way that you summed it up as some good individual performances, but not a good team performance, is probably the best summation of this game. But just disappointment in not putting our best foot forward in that respect and just not having all our guys. You know, I think that's the thing to take from this is tonight, Indiana was not on the level of Arizona. You know, the team we saw tonight was a team, you know, that maybe loses in the round of 32 in the NCAA tournament. But where I think it's important to walk away from this with some perspective is this is not Indiana's full team. You know, we got to get our guys back. We got to get healthy. I think these next few weeks are really important for that. Now, look, I mean, there's no excuses. You still got to play the games. The wins and losses still count. If guys aren't healthy, it's not going to matter in February and March. But this team is capable of so much more when it has its full complement of guys, and all those guys are healthy. So it's really disappointing that even with the guys that were there, Indiana wasn't able to do a little bit more. But I think it's okay to walk away from this feeling that disappointment, feeling that frustration, but not feeling like, you know, okay, well, everything that we thought about this team isn't true. It wasn't tonight, but there's still a lot of reasons to think that it might be moving forward. And if Tamar Bates is going to shoot like this, and if Miller Kopp is going to shoot like this, and if Race can shoot like this a little bit more, you know, those are the kinds of things that can change the equation from Indiana. So some things that are positive to take away, definitely some frustrations, you know, but those are the kinds of things that are going to happen when you're playing on a big stage like this. And most importantly, it was great for Indiana to be back on a big stage, playing in the kinds of non-conference games it needs to be playing consistently. And hopefully the next time the result will be a little bit better. And hey, let's start that next weekend against Kansas. All right, that is going to do it for us on this edition of the Assembly Call. If you want to see us do the show live and be part of the live chat, make sure that you subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/assemblycall. And don't forget to go to join.assemblycall.com to join our free email newsletter. Special thank you to Bob Thompson for the music that you hear on the show. And special thank you to John Ringer of rigdesign.com for designing our logo. Thank you for listening. We'll be back on Thursday with Assembly Call Radio to talk IU hoops again with you once again. Until then.
Take it from me, Yogi Ferrell. Keep your elbows in and your eyes on the rim. And go Hoosiers.
All right, I got to get out of here, folks. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for coming out.
Here I come, Mrs. Stansoni.
Damn it. Yeah. Damn. Now you moved over, so now the man bun isn't happening.
I know. I had to fix it. I couldn't stop looking at it myself.
Do it for the people, Andy. Take one for the team. We need this. We need the man bun.
I couldn't do it. I was distracting myself by looking at it. I couldn't handle it.
Oh man.
Well, soccer team also on the big stage on Monday. So hopefully they can
Yeah, they are. Dang it, I forgot to mention that.
Hopefully they can win it.
Going for number 9, man. That is unbelievable. They've now made half of the Final Fours or half of the College Cups.
I think it's something like that.
That's
ridiculous
just
like
unbelievable.
That. Yeah. 100%.
Unbelievable.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting. Kansas game will be an interesting one. I think they exposed Missouri for kind of who they had amassed their unbeaten record on today, but.
I mean, that's not an unwinnable game. It probably is if we don't, you know, if we're not firing on all cylinders.
But, you know, we've seen this Indiana team play at times in a way that you could go at Kansas and win. But they just got to get back in the flow. And, you know, this is such a tough spot for a guy like Trey Galloway. You know, I mean, we love Trey, but there are still going to be some matchups that you don't want to have to rely on him as much as you did tonight, you know, to be a primary ball handler. He had three assists and one turnover. It's so funny. Like I think he and X were 14 assists, like three turnovers.
Three turnovers. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, just based on the numbers, it was okay, but it certainly didn't really feel like that watching it. You know, the offense didn't feel
everything
as comfortable.
Just felt frantic offensively.
Yes, it did. Yeah, it really did.
And okay. As someone who coaches sixth grade basketball, I've seen my share of frantic offense for sure. Saw some of it earlier today. So, yeah.
All right, man.
Good experience. I think reaffirms
definitely
what you probably thought about Arizona coming in terms of how good they really are. And, you know, I think in some ways how far IU has to go. But interestingly enough, it was, you know, you're playing another team that plays two bigs, neither of which really steps out and does anything. But they run the floor so well and play so fast that they don't really get things clogged up in the lane based on the way they play with them. So maybe some things that you can take away from it and improve offensively. Who knows?
Yeah, that's a good point. That is a good point. All right, everybody. Have a good night. Andy, tell the family we said hi.
Will do.
Hopefully Ryan has a good night. And we'll see y'all later.
All right, we'll see you.